You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. Special thanks to Nick Slepsky. Farmers Market, Cheese Curd Nick. He will be in action this afternoon starting at 3 o'clock on Broadway Street, the very first Farmers Market of the year. And you know what? We were talking about how nasty it was out there. We just had two ladies walk in, Jessica and Jessica, and they're just wearing like tank tops and shorts. And they're like, what are you talking about? It's right. Like 74 out here right now.
20 years in the military. They're tough. Like, we're wimpy here.
And Jessica's, I'm from Alaska. I can handle this. Hello, we're here, Jessica 1 and Jessica 2. Jessica Williams and Jessica George. How you doing, ladies?
Doing great. Thanks for having us on the show. Really appreciate it.
This is so awesome. This is a local combat veterans segment. Veteran Salute, brought to you by the Olson Legal Group. Well, go ahead, whoever wants to jump in first, and let's talk a little bit about the wonderful things that you guys are doing for female veterans, which I think never get enough credit. So whoever would like to jump in, you go right ahead and talk about the great things.
Great. Yeah, we're really excited to serve the local community and help women veterans understand like their commitment and their connection to each other and to the community. So we do a lot of speaking. This just last couple of weeks ago, we did a kind of a meet and greet question and answer situation with the Little Chute High School, which was an incredible meeting. And we got to meet some really great people and we reached out to a lot of women. And we also have a focus in sort of development and leadership and helping women understand that they can make the world around them a better place. And we also explain a lot of things about how veterans interact with their communities and what they can expect if they decide to join the military, especially when we talk to younger women.
Awesome. Is that a little bit of your goal then? Is a little bit of a recruitment or is it more education?
No, it's just educational purposes. We're not interested in trying to persuade anyone. Oh. We just want to kind of share our stories, sort of the good, bad, and the ugly, and let people know what it was like being a female in the United States military, Air Force for me, Army for Jess. For me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, every time I speak, I always mention this, I swear, every time, we don't give the female enlisted enough credit. We just don't, because in my little trips overseas, they were outside the wire. They were going into little villages in Baghdad. They were working with the civilians in a way that the men could not. And I saw it firsthand. The women and the kids wanted nothing to do with the guys. But as soon as the female soldier walked in, they would run up. They were armful of kids hugging and things like that. It was, and they got so much more information in doing it that way than the men could. Hmm. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I would agree with that. What do you think, Jess?
Yes.
Yep. I think it's a really important aspect of kind of female involvement in the military, not just in the military, but I think in humanity in general. The human side of women is a little bit easier to, I think, relate to, especially in a softer sense. It's important.
For a kid.
For sure.
I thought you were talking husbands.
And other women. Well,
whoa. If you're talking anybody over the age of 21.
I think those guys need a script.
No, I would agree with you that, and if it's human nature or what, but I think children are very attracted to a mother figure.
It's very comforting. But, right. I mean, there's definitely a time and a place for, you know, a male influence in a child's life. Absolutely.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience just in general? You said, 22 years?
22 years, United States Air Force, active duty. I retired in 2018. I joined, I was living in Chicago, traveled the world. I have four daughters. Two of them were born in England. Oh. I adopted another one of my daughter's friends, and she's my kid. And my youngest daughter just graduated high school, Appleton West.
Awesome.
And just finishing up raising kids. And I got two granddaughters. So my time in the military, I lived in England for a few years. I've been to Afghanistan, Iraq, Kuwait, and Bosnia as far as deployments go. I was a helicopter mechanic in special operations for 15 of my 22 years. you know, lived a life, my hair on fire, traveling around the world and seeing a bunch of stuff. But
where were you in Iraq and Afghanistan?
I was in northern Iraq at Erbil. Erbil is the first, is now an international airport. We've built it up since then. Okay. But I was there way before that when it was just a couple of police officers and some chicken wire.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then where in Afghanistan?
In Afghanistan, I was at Bagram, which is the
big base.
Big base, center for the entire operation. So I did a lot of work out there.
Okay, I have to ask you. So when I was over there, middle of the night, because my hooch was right next to this one area that had cyclone fences all around it and a gate that you could not get into this one little place. And I'm not even joking about this. I thought that's maybe where they held detainees.
You know, sure.
But it wasn't. It's where the special ops guys stayed.
That's where all the snake eaters
are. Yes. But it's like they want. It's like you don't even talk to them. They just do their own thing. Middle of the night, you'd hear a helicopter take off. And right before as the sun was coming up, the helicopter would land. And it's like, don't ask those guys where they've been, what they've been doing. So were those the guys you dealt with?
That certainly. I was maintenance on those types of helicopters.
Wow.
Yeah. So we had a very tip of the spear opportunity to be involved in the wartime effort over there.
That's cool.
It was pretty neat.
That's cool. How about you, Jessica?
My story is completely different. I did Reserve Army for 9 years and Human Resources.
4-3-2 or?
No.
Okay.
646 Regional Support Group, Training Division in Fort McCoy. I also did a Career Counselor as well as Postal Operations.
Okay.
In 9 years, never deployed. Mine's all been stateside. And that's part of kind of like why we're doing the veteran story is that we each have a story and a different path that took us.
Awesome.
And every veteran that has enlisted has their own reasons of enlisting, as well as whatever direction has taken it.
And maybe things have changed, but I will say this. You said in a deploy or whatever. Once you raise your hand and say you're ready, willing, and able, okay, and they swear you in, whatever you said you wanted to do is 90% out the window, right?
Yes.
I mean, guys, I said, I definitely want to go. I want to go to Iraq. And they were at Fort Riley for the entire time. And other people were like, man, I just want to get my thing. I'm getting college credits. And they were on the front lines when they were at promise. So isn't that the case? So you just never know once you're in what's going to happen.
That's very true. I put on my dream sheet. When you go through basic training and you get through your tech school where they train you how to do your job, you can tell them where you want to go as far as being stationed, right?
Right.
So, and I scrawled on the top of my page, you know, no overseas. My first set of orders was to get a Dean in Japan.
Exactly.
They were like, thank you for playing. We're going to send you where you
exactly.
want.
Tell me about your path, Jessica, too, was some counseling and stateside. Did you go in as a helicopter mechanic? Did you like that when you were a kid in high school, or did they put you to that?
Actually, I got fairly lucky. I went in open general, which meant I went in under the guise of you can make me do whatever you want. So I could, in the Air Force, I wouldn't have been, you know, standing out in the grass with a gun.
Right.
However, I could have had any number of jobs, and I ended up with maintenance. I was pretty mechanically inclined, even from a very young age. And the Armed Forces Vocational Battery Aptitude Test, right? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe I remember that acronym. I need to retire. that tests your abilities across a certain number of areas, and they found out that I was pretty good at mechanics. And it actually ended up being an incredible fit for me because I did love working with my hands, and so that job actually ended up being a perfect fit for me. I loved it.
Jessica George, who just spoke, and Jessica Williams in the house right now. Veteran Salute brought to you by Olson Legal Group.
I think we should do more of that, whether they're going into the military or not, with some kids in certain grades, because there's kids that have an aptitude for mechanics, for engineering. We've had engineers in here, and yet their parents, you got to go to college and get a liberal arts degree. It's like, that's not for everybody, you know, and I just think that's awesome that you took the test. And did you take the same test in the Army?
I did. And it's interesting that you mentioned that. I did college first. So I said no way in hell was I going to join the military. So I enlisted after college. And so technically I should have gone as an officer route. And that's why I went in the HR department. Because everyone just assumes that you're infantry and that your one and only job is to, you know, shoot things.
Right.
But my role was more so making sure that all the soldiers were taken care of, that they were getting paid, that their families were taken care of. And so the career counselor role was later on in my career to actually help the soldiers to determine why they should reenlist.
But another part that you just mentioned, we have a young lady that comes in here, Nicole Stockman out at UW Green Bay. She runs a veteran service office. And she was talking about, she was 21. She wasn't in the military, but she was married to a career military for 21 years. And she talked, like what you said about placement and families and things, she'd get a phone call from her husband and be like, hey, pack up, we're going to Japan.
Wow, yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And it's like, if they didn't have somebody like you, Wow.
I'll tell you, being on the ground and in Afghanistan on the ground, Jessica, she was my savior every time, because we had to be responsible for filing our own travel vouchers and taking care of our own pay. We didn't know what we were doing. And we were like, man, please, somebody help us. Wow. And Jessica was her particular MOS in the Air Force. We call it an AFSC. But her particular job was the most valuable. In fact, I would always seek her out and say, come, a person in her role, come and speak to my airmen, come and speak to my soldiers and tell them how to manage their stuff, how to manage their career, because it was absolutely instrumental. Sure, we can do the deployment stuff on our heads easily, but the job that's really hard and the one that's really, really behind the scenes is the things that Jessica did. And
mentally, that takes that strain away from the people that got some other serious things on their mind.
Absolutely. When I'm too tired to file my travel voucher because I've been working 18 hours and we're fixing helicopters and I need to have somebody help me through it because I can't see straight anymore.
Yeah.
Jessica's the type of person that I would have definitely leaned on at that time.
And Jessica, that's a great program, if you will, lack of a better word. But coming back, how was your readjustment? Because we have people on here that aren't real happy about the support they got coming back into the civilian life. And you guys seem like you're very well adjusted, but do we have...
we wear it well.
Yes. I think we've all had our own challenges. Interestingly enough, my career was actually helping our service members transition. So previously working for the state and as a National Guard contractor, I actually helped to write resumes and those service members...
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
Back on track.
Which is important... Let me just throw this out there and tell me, when we had a guy in here yesterday or 2 days ago, Don Carper, his name is. He's the navigator, we call it, Veterans Village, okay, in Appleton. Mm-hmm. And it was shocking at times how these guys would come in who fulfilled their military careers or whatever, but they didn't have a clue on the next step in certain ways. Some of the things we almost take for granted, that was important.
It really, really is important.
And, you know, there's all those programs to get, you know, apples and oranges, but let me just give you an example that I've dealt with prisoners coming back into society because they've been off the grid. I mean, these guys, there's some people that, well, now they know what cell phones are, but you guys are, we assume you're in the loop the whole time and they come back and they struggle a little bit.
Sure. Reintegration is always a struggle, actually. And it's interesting that you bring that up because my current job is I'm a reserve component transition assistance advisor. I work for the government currently. And so my job is to actually make sure people getting out and transitioning and who have questions about their benefits know who to talk to. Because honestly, there's 100 different agencies that you need to talk to about. Maybe I need to change my retirement. Maybe I want to get a education benefit. And and there's 50 different agencies that you need to talk to. But
and they're changing.
And they change all the time. And you don't know who to call. And so the questions are always there. So my job is to sift through all of that red tape, jargon, which office you need to see, and find the information that you need, give you that information, and then hook you up with the right offices as a veteran so that you can utilize all of the benefits. Because we have guys, I'm in the VFW up by where I live up in Tomahawk, and I'm in the VFW. There are guys in the town that should be getting a retirement or a medical disability from their service and have never applied for it, and they're in their 60s, 70s, 80s.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, what I think is great, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jessica, is the educational opportunities that they have. And it's incredible. And you don't have to study a certain track. You can do anything you want. You go back in horticulture. And I teach at TC, and we're getting more and more people. And it's getting paid for it. Now they got to pass the class and everything. But I just think it's too bad if somebody's sitting there bored. What am I going to do? It's like, well, we'll help you.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Wisconsin is actually we're number one in the United States for offering benefits, a military benefit.
If you're going to be a veteran, do it in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, cool. Exactly.
Oh, this is interesting. Jessica Williams, Jessica George, local vets, veteran salute, brought to you by Olson Legal Group. Back with them right after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mine with the mayor here on a blustery Wednesday morning. 46 in Green Bay, 45 in Appleton, 45 in Oshkosh. Forecast today, breezy, cloudy, windy, showers, high in the mid-50s. But as soon as the farmer's market starts on Broadway, 72 and sunny. 72 and sunny.
So the music, is that left a good job in the city? That's why we're playing it in honor of these people who left the city and
I made it a way back Wednesday today, so it's all older tunes.
Oh,
today.
All right.
Yeah.
We get guests. We start interviewing, and all of a sudden, there's a song that usually ties into them. So, anyway, yes.
Jessica Williams and Jessica George, both United States military veterans. One Jessica in the Air Force, the other in the United States Army. When you have young people, or not even young people, I don't care who it is, some guy at a bar, when he says, "Tell me something I don't know about female veterans," what do you say?
I would say, like, we bleed blood like everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, they don't realize that how important the role the females play in the military.
That's very true. And I actually was pretty fortunate in my career. Jessica said that she was absolutely helpful and supportive of her troops. That was her capacity. I ended up being a first sergeant for a little while in the military, wow, which was tough because I got to see both the side of the person and of the soldier and the airman. And then I got to see the side of the person who struggled through things, had the same problems as everybody else. Their wife left them, or they've got a lot of debt, or they're in trouble with the law or whatever. And I saw that side of them too and had to help them in both those capacities, which was really great. So Jessica and I are kind of similar in that way. She did that like kind of a lot more in depth, but I did that for a brief period of time in the military.
I can see you guys both being good at that. You don't seem real rigid to me. You know what I mean? Like, right?
And if you ask my daughters, they might have something else to say about that.
Once you put the uniform on, I don't know.
It changes a little. maybe that's what it is. You guys are casual. You stayed for 22 years. I mean, something must have called you to do that. That's a long time, quite honestly.
Yeah, actually, the military's been in my family for a long time. My grandfather was in World War II.
Wow.
He followed Patton up through Germany.
Wow.
Yep, and he had a lot of not-so-awesome stories, but a lot of really great ones as well. And
he passed away.
He did. He just recently, actually, just 2 years ago.
Wow.
96 years old.
Oh, yeah. Man. I would love
served
to have
got a field commission. Wow. Very decorated. Great service to his country, sure. And my dad was in during Vietnam. Wow. My brother spent 4 years in during the Gulf War. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it was my turn. So I stepped up and did the same thing.
What did you end up rank-wise?
I was an E7.
Okay,
so
nice.
So pretty good non-commissioned officer.
Absolutely.
Yep. I really enjoyed the military, and a lot of people ask me often, you know, why did I join? And that's a very common question. And,
yeah, I bet.
And I wish I could say I wanted to travel, want to see the world. But truthfully, it was, I really wanted to serve my country. Mm-hmm. That really was it.
Wow. I think that's the bottom line for that last second before you sign the dotted line. Wouldn't you say, Jessica?
Yes, 100%.
I mean, that really is, and you have to have that.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, you're writing a blank check.
Right.
Yeah, right. You can cash this up into my life, please.
Yeah. Recruitment is down a little bit and everything but the Air Force. Israel, you kids got to do it after high school for 2 years. I mean, I don't get political here, but I'm just curious what you thought, because we do need good people, you know, defending our country and working in so many. There's just so much more than just the infantry, right? There's just, like you talked about, HR.
We had a basketball player here at Green Bay. He was from Norway, and they had the country of Norway.
They do that too?
They had to do 2 years.
Oh. In my personal, opinion, I would almost wish that America would be like other countries where it was an obligation that you had to give 2 years.
Right.
Mostly because you get the structure, you get the same norms and the values and the brother-sisterly vibe and like protecting one another and just kind of more of a basic where I feel like just in civilian life, everyone's kind of for each
disconnected.
Other.
They're floating.
Yeah,
well, disconnected. They're floating, whereas sure. There's structure. You guys come out of a structured environment and reporting mm-hmm. and... That's healthy for someone to just know it, whether they want to live that. I just think there's so much more than, like you said, just the combat side. I mean, you talked about the camaraderie and kids at 19 years old. I think that's a good thing.
There's leadership. There's
right.
the strategic planning. There's that process. And, like, there's steps of exactly what direction you're going to go, which is why normally the transitions are hard. Because in the civilian life, it's kind of like, well, whatever this company does is different than this company. But in the military, regardless of what branch you're in, you actually are kind of following the same rules mm-hmm. for the most part.
I think, yeah, Jessica, I totally agree with you. And I think I don't know about 2 years, but it's a long time.
Yeah, I know.
I think it would be absolutely.
At least basic training.
I think it would be really great for people to, because it really builds the self. It mm-hmm. helps with us identity. It helps with your humanity. It helps
right.
us be more connected as people when we can have a common goal and work towards something together, even if it is just a 2 year hitch for, you know, a common goal to protect the safety and peace of your nation.
I was working on a chapter for my new book last night, and this guy was in the Marines. And for whatever reason, the biggest, toughest drill sergeant, had something. He thought had something against me. Something against me. And he would always make him carry the heaviest guy. We put around the shoulders. And he's like, my leg, physically, I couldn't do it. But I did, because that guy was right alongside me the whole time. And he said, at the end of boot camp, he said, I knew I was going to get kicked out of the Marines, but this guy was so mean to me. At the end, I went to his thing. I wanted to punch him just once. I didn't care if I went to the brig. He'd made my life so miserable. We sat down in the bunk. And when I walked out of there, I thank God that I had this guy in my life. Because I realize now, when I go to Vietnam, how horrific it's going to be. If he hadn't tested me and took me beyond what my mind told me I could do, I never would have made it.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that. I'm interested to hear about your book, for sure. That's why I stayed in the military as long as I did, because I ended up crossing over and becoming that mentor, that leader, that somebody that was right beside a lot of my airmen, kind of cheering them on and giving them kudos and helping them reach their goals. And that was where I found meaning in my life.
So I bet your language was better than the DI in 1966, yeah. Though.
I don't know. I was special operations, and that was maintenance. We'll see.
The other thing is that it's so important that people learn to work as a team. And we don't have a lot of that. It's been very, very important to companies, mm-hmm. but very important in schools that we work as teams now, because there's diversity, and there's so much more when,
come together.
Right, when the whole is so much greater than the sum of its parts. So
absolutely.
That's
connection,
great.
Human connection. Is
right. Jessica Williams, Jessica George, thank you so much, and do me a favor, come back again.
Would love to.
Because I feel like we're just scratching the surface in a certain way on females in the military, and I think it's something that really, really needs to get as much sunshine to it, or light to it, whatever you want to call it, as humanly possible.
Would love to.
I still think it's an undertold story.
Thank you for the invite.
Thank you both so very, very much.
Thank you very much.
Quick break, back after this.
Searching for something to say. Flashing lights against the sky.
Got something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Man, what some great guests right there. Jessica Williams, Jessica George, a couple of local veterans. Veteran Salute, brought to you by the Olson Legal Group, talking about the female version, or not version, female aspect and outlook of being in the military. I want to get them again.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Wow.
Did they bring you the cookies that were out there?
No, that was Cheese Curd Nick.
Oh, okay.
Cheese Curd Nick.
Right.
He's going to have his thing set up today right across the river from you guys. He's going to set up for his cheese curd stand.
Very
on Broadway.
Nice.
Have some cookies. We tested them. They're good.
No.
There's not a problem. We were a little worried about it.
Jim was actually a little disappointed.
We know, yeah. We,
yeah.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah.
I'll hold out for the cheese curds. Yeah. Yeah.
It was the first thing I asked him when he handed me a cookie. I was like, are these safe?
Yeah. Okay. I know. And they say we're brownies.
Right.
Brownies are always more suspicious.
Absolutely. Yeah. Indiana Melker in the house.
And you know Nick, so even when he says, yeah, they're safe, we're like,
yeah. But I'll tell you one thing that probably proves they're safe. He's lost 47 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
Tapeworm.
And think
gotta
about
it. Gotta be. Think what he does for a living.
What he does for a living is he deep fries cheese curds, and he cooks the best burgers and brats.
Okay.
You know, of course, I know you guys have had
those. And those Nathan hot dogs.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Love a good Nathan hot dog.
Yeah, love
Nathan
dog.
Anyway, he looks great, and it's all working for him. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. Oh,
so you know, if those cookies had anything else in them, he wouldn't have lost 47 pounds.
Right.
And we're not talking about the extra couple of calories. Benediana Melker in the house. How you guys doing?
We're doing good. Yeah, not loving this weather.
Yeah, it's nice. Mother Nature could refresh our memory on what fall looks like.
Well, we talked last week that, you know, sometimes the weather does influence people getting out of the house. And
you know, I think it does. You know, we had an open house last night at the home that we have listed on Humboldt. 10 acres right in town. Right.
With a pond, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. But, you know, it's rainy. So we did have a nice family stop by who's very interested. But, you know, things are quiet when it's raining. Everybody kind of hunkers down.
They just do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's gloomy, too. Yeah. That doesn't help.
Unless you bring a Packer. You don't think we, it's crazy what we'll do for a Packer game, and everybody, 80,000 people stand in line, and yet, you know, any other event. It's just, it's a no-show.
Yeah,
just, Anyway.
So maybe we'll have to see if there's just some Packers sitting
there
around
go.
That
want to. Yeah. Get that Jordan Love guy in the living room.
That would bring him up.
I'm not sure that's our budget. I think we're more of a practice squad type budgetary.
So what are you hearing out there? I mean, we talk a lot about people who are buying homes are sometimes a little bit older. We always talk about first-time buyers, but right now it's people who are 55 are kind of looking to, you know, redesign their life.
Kind of right-size.
Into a ranch.
Absolutely.
I know.
With that nice zero-entry shower.
I know. Yeah, those ranches are perfect. Yeah. They're perfect for everybody, but... Yeah, you know, I think it's, you know, right now, I think we're starting to feel, especially with the first-time home buyers, since you brought it up, a little bit of buyer fatigue.
We are.
You know, I think we've got a lot of, you know, I know our buyers, when you know, they find these homes that they like, but there's now like 11 offers, 15 offers again on these homes. And it's tough, you know, you get really tired really
fast.
You
grind.
Yeah. There
grind.
Was even one that we had shown in Alloway, you know, structurally a nice home, just... hadn't been updated
in a lot of cosmetic
probably
work.
35, 40, even 50 years. And, you know, the flooring was starting to come up. 11 offers on that home.
Yeah.
11 offers.
Yeah. It's crazy right now.
I was talking to a guy last night, lives in Chicago, his son's 25, and he was just, it's everywhere. There's just, they haven't kept up with the building. I mean, and he's like, is this going to change? I'm like, he doesn't want his kid living in an apartment because you're not building equity, you know? Right. And I would agree with that. But on the other hand.
Let me ask you something. You're always talking about building things and businesses and yada, yada, and we've got all this land. Doesn't it seem like somebody would say, I'm going to take 10 acres and I'm going to build all these houses with zero.
You know what I mean?
As far as walk-in, everything.
Starter homes.
No steps. Wouldn't that go over big?
You know, you would think that it would, but here's the issue that I think we run into a lot. And I think, you know, when you're right-sizing, when you're downsizing and you're looking at, okay, we've got this huge house that we don't want to take care of anymore, and or it's two stories and we're trying to find that ranch home or those zero-entry kind of homes, they're more expensive than the house that you have. And so it's really hard for those buyers sellers, potentially sellers and buyers, to move from a payment that is much smaller than a payment that they're going to have, or maybe no payment. And so it's really hard to move into something that's smaller but costs more.
If I had a mortgage paid off, I wouldn't think I'd go to the gas station.
I would die in your castle, whatever.
If there's no mortgage, my gosh, I'd
just have soup for every meal.
Absolutely.
But I do think that has to happen. The municipality's got to municipalities have to get involved. So let's say you buy 60 acres of land and, I don't know, quarter lots, whatever you want to do. That's a lot of houses, but there's a lot of infrastructure to that. Sewer, water, and
roads.
The city's got to pay for that. They got to say, we'll do that for you as long as you build these, because once you got families living there, it's good for the schools, it's good for the tax base, it's good for the labor force. But, you know, you got to step up and, because it's expensive. I mean, I just want to say in their defense, it's expensive to build. And, you know, the city's going to have to take on debt for that, but you got to bank on them because they don't really TIF residential, you know, tax increment financing. They don't really do that for residential. And that just, I think that needs to happen.
That would be nice. I'm sure, you know, with everything that the developers do, I'm sure they would really appreciate it.
Well, and they're not,
they're anxiously listening for our advice.
I know, right?
But as much as these guys are entrepreneurs, they're not the biggest risk takers I've ever met, you know?
Well,
that's why they're building apartments now versus condos or starter homes.
I would say that they're in that you've lived and you've learned category.
Maybe that's it.
You know, you've done it before, you know where you don't take your risks anymore.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because it can change so fast, huh?
Yeah. But I agree with you. You know, just having like older community, all ranches, kind of zero inch. Heck, it worked at the Villages.
Right. What if you would do that style, and then what if you would like offer a little weed garden?
Illegal in the state of Wisconsin.
He didn't let me finish.
So the mayor has been fired.
Mine on the milk horn.
That's what
my dreams coming true.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's
I didn't want Jim to get fired.
No, I can make a hell of a lot more doing that than I am working here. So
that's the incentive. I get in prison. You ever watch a TV show? It has been on in years.
I love it.
Crossing out the mirror.
Did
you ever see the TV show Arrested Development?
Oh yeah. Love it. A little bit. Love it.
So good.
The guy, the real estate developer who ended up going to prison because of you would be that guy in prison still dispensing to these hardcore criminals, dispensing advice to them.
Even though you were in prison
for doing those things. If you guys could build a house, if somebody said, I'm donating 3 acres, but you guys have to build a house that you know would be really popular. What would you guys design? What would you guys build?
Ranch. 100%
ranch. 100%
ranch. And you'd build 12 of them. You just make them quarter acre lots. And you wouldn't build one house on 3 acres. That's a waste of opportunity.
Actually, even a third of acre is pretty much a lot, isn't it?
Well, that's a nice size lot.
Maybe that's quarters too small.
Yeah.
But I just think that kind of stuff has to happen. You talk about the villages, and you're joking about it. But I mean, is there anything more successful than that?
Exactly.
He got something going on. I don't know what it is, but it works.
Continue. What you guys would do to design it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think you've got to go. I mean, if we're doing a few of them, you've got to do a little sampling of just about every kind of interior. But because interiors are very personalized, you know, you can walk into a white woodwork home and somebody loves it, and the next person is like, ugh, this is out, I like stained wood, you know. So, you know, the cosmetic part of it, don't really know, but you've got to have a ranch home. You've got, you know, if you're going to build something right now that you want to know that it's going to resale no matter what.
Exactly. That
what
you
we're
guys
in.
Know after all these years in the business that you guys absolutely can't miss.
But you don't want to make it look all the same either. So, like in Nashville, right, they have these developments, and you can pick out good, better, best.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Absolutely.
But they will not let you deviate. They must have a warehouse full of good, better, best.
No.
You say, well, look, I'd like to just, no. These are your three choices for, you know, windows, doors, color, siding, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, they do that in Minneapolis as well.
And that's where you can make a little money.
You can, and it's kind of like the condos that we have out in Luxembourg across from Northbrook, is they're really all look, you know, they're the same style. But you can pick out whatever outside you want.
Right.
So you're picking out your color of vinyl, and as long as it's not anything, you know, crazy.
Right.
You're picking out your stone. So every single one, when you drive down the street, looks a little bit different, even though it's the same style of house.
So you know what I wish people would realize sometimes? That when they put really bizarre colors on their house, like the like we were going to do a thing at Two Rivers, and I swear, the neighbors, the quote-unquote neighbors there, had such ugly, bizarre doors. They were turquoise.
Yeah, I know.
Out of this normal-looking house, these bright, unbelievable turquoise. It's like, I wouldn't want to wake up every morning, look at that ugly door next door to me. I think that's spray paint.
This door has really impacted his life.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I think you should pen a letter.
I'd be over there every day with 3 a.m. with a can of spray paint, put a big X on that door every time, every morning.
And the way around that is to get into an association where you can't.
Yeah,
right.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen that home in downtown Sheboygan that's painted in Broncos colors.
Oh, yeah.
No, corner. Like,
Yeah.
There's one in downtown Manitowoc, though, right by that church that's for sale, which I'd like to buy. There's a big, huge church.
I'd love to buy an old church.
Yes, there's one for sale in downtown Manitowoc. Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
But somebody did a Packer house next door that's all green and gold.
Oh
really?
Yeah.
Wow. That Denver guy, that he went
all in.
He went all in.
Super committed.
That's not a logo, man.
No.
He is all in on that.
He's all in.
And I'm sure his neighbors hate that. But had he been in an association, like even out here, you know, some shingle roofs. I mean, that's not shingle roofs, cedar.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Over by the Lake Largo.
You want to live over there. Yeah. That's not cheap. But the neighbors feel very confident that nobody's going to have vinyl siding next to them. Nobody's going to have asphalt shingles next to them. And I don't know. There's some comfort in that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you know, I think a lot of, you know, people, they don't like those associations. They don't like people telling them what they can and cannot do.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it does keep the values up.
Absolutely.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. Mm-hmm. It's a win for everybody.
No question.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we got to ranch house and we all interrupted you. After the ranch house, your design.
Am I like taking this from like plant?
Well, first and foremost, let's talk design. I was looking at the planner out in the lobby. And the planter has like two weeds, plastic weeds coming out of it, foam blocks.
But these are your lobby.
With the tank still on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are the guys doing here?
Is that our lobby?
Your lobby.
Intern.
Yeah.
Go out there and check it out first.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
He's absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Post a picture to your page. Post a picture. Show
Ben
people.
May have already posted a picture.
Yeah. Oh. You know, the devil is in the details.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's been nice having the Melcores.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey.
Oh, my God. Wow. Donna, just
one segment, you fire the mayor. Yeah.
I know.
And John's Mino's next.
Everybody with amps is fired today.
John is like, I've been waiting 2 years for this. I finally got my own show back. Awesome. Hey, what would you, if you're going to build these ranch homes, what would be the price point?
You know, you'd love to keep them if you could. I mean, it is hard. If you could keep them under like 350.
Yeah, I was going to say 350.
Fantastic.
Yeah, right around 350,
well,
325.
I don't know a lot about square foot, but if the infrastructure is put in for you, maybe you could swing something down 325.
Yep. And make sure you have the egress and the plumbing in the basement. That's the big thing. If you aren't going to finish the basement, make sure you have those things in there.
Yeah. That's huge. People don't realize it. You put in that egress window, even if you're not going to use it, for somebody that might buy it then, that $5,000 or whatever they'd have to put in to do a new bedroom. Yeah. Worth it when you build.
Worth it.
Oh, yeah.
100%. We're with the Melcores. Ben and Deanna Melcore moving with the Melcores. Back with them right after this.
Sister's saying in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep. He can't hang around. Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our...
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Father wears his Sunday best.
And welcome back to Who's Fired Next?
Yeah, I know, right?
Mino and the Mayor.
Yeah.
You're fired.
Did the intern get out and look at those plans? Maybe he's next.
Come on.
We'll bring you some moss next time.
Yeah, we got it. We got it.
I was just going through the other offices to see if I could find anything to throw in there. So.
Ben and Deanna Melcore, this is great stuff with you guys. But let me ask you what you guys have now on the market, what you got listed, and what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll start. We've got a beauty over on St. Mary's Boulevard.
Yep.
We're at 490 in Alloway, 499.9.
We talked about that street.
Impeccable
love it.
Impeccable property. Impeccable.
Yeah.
And a great, great neighborhood.
And
great space. I mean, it's really nice. I mean, it'd be nice for everyone. But if you have small children, all the bedrooms are together upstairs.
Nice.
So, you know, you find a lot where you've got like the master downstairs and all the, you know, extra bedrooms upstairs. And that's tough when you have little kids because they want to be on the same floor. So all the bedrooms are upstairs. The primary suite is huge.
It's huge. Yeah.
It's huge. With a cedar walk-in closet and extra closets and a sitting area and a little reading nook. And it's crazy.
I'm sure it's got great curb appeal.
It does.
Backyard.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I love that.
Well, those boulevards are so beautiful, honestly.
Yeah.
And you got booked in, but you got Webster, which you want to get on there and hit either way.
Yeah.
And you got Riverside down below, which hit either way. It's perfect location.
Well, you're super close to the Fox River Trail, too.
Yeah.
So if you like to walk or bike or, you know, skateboard, whatever.
Rollerblade.
Well, actually, I was going to say roller skating.
Roller skating.
I couldn't come up with Blade. And I'm like, that's going to sound really old.
Yeah.
And what are your buyers looking for?
Oh, my gosh. Everything. Right now, we're working with a lot of buyers that are looking 325, 350 and below.
Yep.
And that's a really tough market to be in. We still have our buyer looking up in Door County for waterfront on the bay. So if you have a beautiful home, 4 bedrooms on the bayside, or a lake in Door County, they'd be really interested in that. So reach out to us. But it's, you know, we've got the home over in Moose Creek Estates.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That over one by is Bayport. Still,
we have buyers kind of circling it right
I'm
now.
I'm surprised that one wasn't scooped up right away being in that school district.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and it's a beautiful home. Honestly, I think it's, you know, and I may be biased, but I think it's one of it's definitely the prettiest on their street. It's not the largest, but it just has such great curb appeal.
Yeah.
When they built it, they just did
nice
such an
touches.
Amazing. Yeah.
Really
it's
nice
full
touches.
Of like reclaimed barn wood.
Oh, neat.
Really neat stuff.
I've got a garage full of reclaimed barnwood. If you
you could sell it for big bucks.
Yeah, I know.
You know, people ask all the time where they can find it.
Well, you know,
so
what
now
I'm doing?
we'll give them your name.
You know what I'm building this summer? Or not? It's not too hard. I tore a bunch of wooden doors off an old wooden silo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I'm making coffee tables out of them.
Oh, really? Very cool.
Yeah. I got the handles. I got them sandblasted and everything to get all the rust off.
Wow. Sure.
Putting that on it. So it's pretty cool. If you're everybody looking for a table, coffee table made out of an actual wooden silo door.
Yeah.
Sure. That's probably 150 years old.
That's super cool.
Wow. Yeah.
That I love stuff like that.
I'll make you one.
Fantastic.
All right.
I hear that all the time. I really want to find a table that's an old barn. That's unique.
That is unique.
That is cool.
People like that stuff.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah.
They do. I don't, but hey, anyway, let's, what else is, so these homes, what
this
else
is his last day, so he's going out on a crazy, I got nothing to lose.
He's not going to give me, one of my guys, before they left Vietnam, they knew that North, or the South Vietnamese were taken out, so they were told, fire off all your ammunition.
Yeah.
He said for 6 days, that's all he did was fire every bit of ammunition. That's what he's going to do to the last day.
Get another hour and 4 minutes. All right, so that's cool. What else, anything else you want to talk about here?
We've got the condos in Luxembourg, which are, they're single family. So it's kind of your, it's like living in a single family home, which is really nice. And you can custom build them.
And the other condos.
And we've got the condos, West Point Center, that are coming right over by the OC.
And those, you have a show condo and then.
We have a showroom. All they need to do is reach out to us. We can meet them over at the showroom and we can walk through the whole process. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of hopefully going to be starting this summer, but you know, you want to reserve them now because I think that once they get going, they're going to go real fast.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I would have to think, I don't even want to talk about this, but interest rates, I think they are what they are.
Yeah.
And nobody sees any weird kind of thing that's going to knock them either way, right?
No. And we don't hear it a lot from our buyers.
We
anymore.
Don't. Yeah. You know, quite honestly, it's still a good rate. It's still a good rate right now.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not anything that I think is keep. I mean, I really don't feel like, I mean, there's a lot of buyers out there. We just need more. We need more stock.
We need more inventory.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're thinking about selling, right now is a good time.
How can they get a hold of you guys?
Oh, they can call us or text us at 920-495-7653. You can go on Ben's website, which is just benmelcor.com. You can Facebook message us, you know, however, there's many ways.
Or stop in at your lovely new office.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to call us first because if we're not there, the doors may be locked.
1200 block, right?
Yep, it's 1238 Main Street.
Yeah. I got to ask, has this whole phone debacle caused problems?
We luckily do not have any cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have, we have not been impacted at all. But I know, you know, I just had an inspection down in the valley yesterday and, or 2 days ago. And the inspector, he had issues he had to work through. So.
And I know people have had a hard time getting a hold of us. So, you know, when it first started, there was this, you know, we can't get a hold of you. You're not answering your phone.
You're not answering your phone.
Right. Come to find out it was really on their end and the call.
It's not me.
Through.
It's you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could have been handled better.
Yeah, I think so. They're a great company.
Oh, I love them. We've been there 30 years.
Yeah. We moved from them a couple years ago and right now, we're really happy about it.
My wife's calling around to get into, like, well, we're too busy right now. The
competitor. Oh, I can't even imagine.
You know what I mean? Sure, I just want to say it's
Sure.
Well, but wish them the best.
We do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Great friends that work there. And I can't even imagine what their days are like these days.
Well, we kind of sent out one of those, like, we're thinking about you texts to some of our friends that work there because you just know. It's
absolutely.
People are.
The shelter, we need phones. So we got those burner phones that you can get.
Oh, sure.
We got a couple of those.
Yeah, good.
Oh, my daughter texted me last week, Dad, why won't you talk to me? Right. Or something like that. I swear. I will if I can. Ben and Deanna Malker, you guys are so awesome, and it's so much fun having you guys here.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Enjoy Portland.
Yeah,
we will.
Do.
All right.
All right. Check them out. Ben and Deanna Malker, they are the best. Mine on the Mayor, back after this.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.